today on After God's Heart.
And the Lord has one message for the prophet. The just will live by faith. It's a message that's later echoed by Paul in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. The just will live by faith. Paul used it again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. The just will live by faith. The writer of Hebrews employed that same phrase in Hebrews 10, verse 38. The just will live by faith. It occurs to me that that verse says the just will live by faith. The text does not say the just should live by faith. It says the just will live by faith. It is the identifying marker of the just.
Welcome to After God's Heart with Dr. Darren Biles, author, professor, and pastor of Sunnyvale First Baptist Church. We live in a culture that idolizes doing something. In contrast, God told the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk to wait, but he wasn't just to wait and do nothing. While Habakkuk was waiting and watching for God's response, God had one instruction: the just will live by their faith. Dr. Biles?
One of the hardest things for all of us to do is wait. We're a culture that thrives on doing something, and whenever we sit idle for too long, we feel guilty thinking, I should be doing something, but waiting is hard. It's unnatural. Impatience actually feels normal. It feels even safer. But God gave instructions to the prophet of God, and by extension to all of us as God's people, that sometimes God wants us to wait. Now, let's open our Bibles and turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, and hear God's instructions to a weary and confused prophet and to us today.
On my cell phone, when I open up my Fox News app, right below the main logo are the words, America is watching. You've seen that. I'm less concerned about what America is watching with reference to the news, but I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you watching? We're going to look at the testimony of a preacher in the Old Testament, looking at a book that's named for him, looking at an example of a testimony of a man who was watching. We read about him in the book that bears his name. It's the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk lived in an unusual time in the history of the nation of God's people. They were under attack in many different directions. They were under physical attack. They were under spiritual attack. They were under every kind of turmoil that they could imagine. And as Habakkuk pens the letter, an autobiography of his own conversation with God, the prophet stands in a maze of confusion. Habakkuk has two conversations with God recorded in the text. The first begins in the very first verse of Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk has two concerns. His first concern is, God, why don't you do something about this? He's talking about what's going on in his culture. He's talking about what's going on in his time. He's talking about his own frustrations, what's going on in the community of God's people, what's going on in the nation. God, when are you going to step in? God, when are you going to do something about this? Have you ever wondered that? Wondered on God's time. When's God going to step in? Confirm the faith that you have in him. God, when are you going to do something about this? It's the first four verses of Habakkuk chapter 1. Verse 5, God answers. God said to Habakkuk, I am doing something. And when you see it, you're going to stand amazed. You won't understand it, but I'm doing something. And then God begins to explain everything that he's about to do. God answers the prayer of Habakkuk. Not the way Habakkuk thought God would answer it, but God says, I'm going to do something. When you see it, you're going to be shocked. You won't understand it, but I am working. And he tells Habakkuk what's about to happen. Then in chapter 1, verse 12, Habakkuk has a second question. The first question was, when are you going to do something about this? And God answers, this is what I'm going to do. Which gave rise to Habakkuk's second question, which was, why are you going to do it that way? Not unlike prayers that you and I pray before the Lord. God, I want you to do what I want you to do, but I want you to do what I want you to do the way I want you to do it. As though my way was somehow superimposed on the will and plan of God. And all of that is background for the text that I want to look at this morning in Habakkuk chapter 2. If you brought your Bible, let me invite you to turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. If you find Matthew, turn left about five books. If you can find Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. And we're going to look at the minor prophet Habakkuk, a word from the Lord about waiting and watching. Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, I will stand at my guard post and station myself at the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint. The Lord answered me, write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets so that one may easily read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it. Surely it will certainly come and not be late. Look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity. But the righteous one will live by his faith. Now there are two key words that stand out in that passage that we just looked at. They are the words waiting and watching. We hear those words together in phrases often in our culture today, watching and waiting, waiting and watching. It's actually a medical term. Maybe you've seen that in the context of medicine. Sometimes doctors will prescribe waiting and watching. They will sometimes prescribe that when they're not sure about the prescription that needs to take place. Sometimes they'll prescribe waiting and watching because they believe that whatever ailment you have will fix itself, or they may prescribe waiting and watching because they believe the cost of doing something outweighs the potential benefits that they might bring, waiting and watching. But that's not how the text, those two words are used here in Habakkuk chapter 2. You see both of them there in verse 1 where the Bible says that Habakkuk was stationed at his guard post. He was watching and God instructed him to both watch and wait. Now, as far as sermon outlines go, this particular sermon is a very simple one. There are not many points in the text. There's one point in this passage. You see it there in verse 4. It's the highlight, the pinnacle of not only this passage, it's the highlight of the entire book of Habakkuk. It is the word from the Lord, the just will live by faith. Everything in this passage moves towards and around that one phrase, the just will live by faith. When we meet Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 2, he's already poured out his heart before the Lord. He's negotiated with God. He's listened. He's countered. God's responded. And now he's replied a second time, and he's waiting for God to respond. So when chapter 2 begins, Habakkuk has already twice poured out his complaint before the Lord. God, when are you going to do something? God, why are you going to do it that way? And now, as the chapter 2 begins, Habakkuk says, here's what I'm going to do. I've twice poured out my complaint before the Lord. Now, all that's left for me to do is watch and wait. And the Lord has one message for the prophet. The just will live by faith. It's a message that's later echoed by Paul in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. The just will live by faith. Paul used it again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. The just will live by faith. The writer of Hebrews employed that same phrase in Hebrews 10, verse 38. The just will live by faith. It occurs to me that that verse says the just will live by faith. The text does not say the just should live by faith. It says the just will live by faith. It is the identifying marker of the just. It is how we identify those who are just contrasted with those who are unjust. The just will live by faith. So this morning I want to think through with you a moment of waiting and watching. What do we do when we're like Habakkuk, waiting on God? We're watching for God. We're wondering what God's going to do, when God's going to do it, how God's going to do it. And we learn a lesson from a confused prophet on how to respond in faith when we are waiting and watching for God. I want to suggest to you, first of all, when you're waiting and watching on God, keep crying out to Him. Go back to Habakkuk chapter 1 and look at the very first verse when Habakkuk pours out his heart. It is a burden from the prophet Habakkuk. How long, O Lord, I cry to you for help, and I cry about my circumstances. And Habakkuk pours out his heart before the Lord not once but twice. And the idea in the text is it is a repeated, ongoing conversation between Habakkuk and God. He cried out to the Lord. Living by faith means that our burdens don't drive us away from God, they draw us to Him. Heard a story about a car stopped at an intersection, and somehow the car stalled right there as the light was red, about to turn green, and the frantic driver was trying to restart the car, and the light turned green, and inevitably, instantly, as always happens in the Metroplex, the moment the light turns green, the horn in the car behind you begins to sound. And that frantic driver is trying to restart that car, and the increasingly frustrated driver behind him is honking his horn, and on that goes. He tries unsuccessfully multiple times to restart his engine, but the horn behind him works perfectly. Finally, in frustration, the driver got out of his car, walked to the car behind him, knocked on the window, and said, "Listen, I'm sorry. My car is stalled and it won't start, but if you'd prefer, you can go up there and try to restart my car, and I'll sit here and honk your horn for you." You ever felt like your prayers are just honking horns at God? And it doesn't take Habakkuk long to immediately begin his burden, the outpouring of his concern to the Lord. "God, how long, Lord? I'm crying for help. How long?" What he discovers is the same thing that you and I will discover when we pour out our burdens before the Lord. God listens. And in God's goodness and kindness, God responded to Habakkuk not one time, but twice in the text. And though Habakkuk doesn't fully understand what God was saying, it is that God was speaking that was the ultimate source of comfort for the confused prophet. When you and I are waiting and watching for God, the very best thing we can do is the very first thing we should do, and that's to cry out to Him. God can handle your hard questions. God can handle the confusion that you face. God can handle the crises. God can handle all the struggles that you face. I pour out my heart to Him. I may not understand. I have no right to make expectations of God, but I come to Him in humility and I pour out my heart to Him. And though God owed Habakkuk no explanation, God responded. He responded first in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, as God began to pour out what was about to take place. You won't understand it, and in fact, Habakkuk didn't. But God said, "Here's what I'm about to do. I'm about to do something that the eyes of the world will be shocked. You'll stand up and notice that God is doing something." May I suggest to you the very first thing that you should do in a moment of waiting and watching is to cry out to Him. Isn't it ironic how so often our needs drive us from God rather than driving us to Him? And I want you to see the lesson of Habakkuk. Keep crying out to Him. But I want to suggest to you, secondly, when you are waiting and watching on God, stay at your post. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk has now twice poured out his heart before the Lord. God responded a first time, and he's now waiting for God to respond a second time. Now, while he was waiting for God to respond, here's what Habakkuk said: "I will stand at my guard post, station myself on the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint." Now, there's clearly a metaphor that the prophet is using here in verse 1. It's a metaphor of a watchman. You're familiar with that picture. A watchman was the strategic man on the corner, literally every corner of the wall surrounding the city. The watchman would be watching down a specific direction to see if an enemy was approaching. It would be the responsibility of the watchman to alert the army when an enemy was coming. It would be the responsibility of the watchman to stay alert because the danger might be present. So Habakkuk said, when I'm waiting and watching for God, I'll stay at my post. In fact, there are three verbs that I want you to see there in verse 1. I will stand at my guard post. That's the first one. I'll station myself on the lookout tower. That word literally means I'm going to stand firm in my spot. I'm going to station myself on my lookout tower, and I will watch to see what he'll say. That word watch carries an idea of expectancy. I'm looking, I'm watching, because I believe God has a word to say to me. So I'm going to watch to see what God will say. Verse 1 is Habakkuk's testimony of faith. Here's what I'm going to do. I've poured out my heart before the Lord. Now I'm going to watch. I'm going to wait until God speaks, and I'm going to watch to see what he'll say to me. But in the meantime, I'm going to stay at my post. I'm going to stand at my guard post. Now, look at the wording there in verse 1. I will stand at my guard post. You see that? It's my guard post. It is the post that has been assigned to me. And so while I'm waiting and watching for God, Habakkuk models for us a moment of faithfulness. God has not yet answered my second prayer, but in the meantime, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm going to be faithful to whatever was the last instruction God gave to me. And God assigned me this watch post. And so Habakkuk said, I'm going to stay at this watch post until God moves me. I'm going to keep doing the job that God assigned to me. I'm going to keep being faithful to the responsibility that God has entrusted to me. What's God entrusted to you? What's your watch post? May I suggest to you that when you're waiting and watching for God, that's the moment to stay faithful to your guard post. I will watch carefully. I'll stand in my watch and watch. Habakkuk says, I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to let someone else stand at my watch post. I'm not going to expect someone else to step up. I'm going to keep being faithful to the last thing that God told me to do. I may not understand everything that God said. I may not understand everything that God is about to do. But in the meantime, I will keep doing my duty, because impatience is never an excuse for disobedience. So often when God does not respond in our time or doesn't act in the way that we want, we stop serving him as though faith was a negotiation. It will not lie. Even if it tarries, wait for it. God's not stalling to figure out his next move. It will surely come. We see this modeled in Daniel chapter 10 as Daniel was praying to the Lord for 21 days. Daniel was praying this prayer. And finally, the angel of the Lord met Daniel in the middle of Daniel chapter 10. And the angel said, God answered your prayer the moment that you prayed it. It just took 3 weeks for me to get to you because there's so many things going on that you can't understand. God answered it. May I suggest to you that God has an appointed time. Maybe this morning you and I need to trust in God's time. It's the willingness to trust God without giving him deadlines. When you're tempted to turn and run or give up, don't let go. Keep waiting on the Lord. God's not forsaken you. God's not stopped working. Keep on waiting. It really will come. Now, God's time may not be our time, but God's time's best, so I wait. Habakkuk, like you and me, lived in that parenthetical moment between the times. Between the time when God spoke and the time when God ultimately would step in. And Habakkuk was being forced to trust in God's time. And God was reminding the prophet, God speaks and works in his time. Our job is to be faithful, to be obedient, to follow his word, and to wait on his time, because that's what the just will do. Because God's timing is always right. And in the meantime, here's how the vision ends. Between verse 4 of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, there are five woes. You see them there beginning in the text in verse 6. Woe there in verse 6. You see it again in verse 9. You see it in verse 12. You see it in verse 15. You see it in verse 19. Five woes that God has proclaimed that are about to come. They haven't happened yet, but they're about to happen. Between the time when Habakkuk prayed and when God stepped in, there are five periods of woe that are going to take place. And then the word ends in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent in his presence. The Hebrew word for be silent here is the word hush. Means in Hebrew like it sounds in English, it means to hush, to be silent. You see it in Exodus 14, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Or Psalm 46, verse 10, be silent and know that I am Lord. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 7, be silent in the presence of the Lord. Here, God is in his holy temple. Let all the earth hush. Maybe you need to hear that deep theological truth this morning. When I'm tempted to worry, what I probably need to do is hush. When I'm tempted to rush to judgment, what I probably need to do is hush. When I'm tempted to be critical or rash or unkind, what I probably need to do is hush. When I'm tempted to be impatient because God's not working in the time frame that I have assigned for God to work, what I probably need to do is hush. So when answers don't come quickly, be still. When God's ways don't make sense in our minds, shh. When you can't trace God's hand, hush. And in the meantime, remember the Lord's instructions to a confused prophet 2,600 years ago, the just will live by faith. Don't let uncertainty lead to instability in your faith. Will you forget the unnumbered certainties of all that God did yesterday and the untold promises of all that God will do tomorrow in the wake of your uncertainty today? The Lord first spoke it to Habakkuk, and Habakkuk to Paul, and Paul to the writer of Hebrews, and down through the centuries to you and me today. It is the one verse summation of the law, the answer to every unanswerable question, the antidote to every anxious uncertainty. The just will live by faith, because that's how you know who they are.
If you'd like to hear this message in its entirety or other messages from our church, check out our YouTube page by going to YouTube and searching Sunnyvale FBC. So much of life is lived in a parenthesis moment. That's where Habakkuk was. He prayed, God answered. He prayed again, and God answered, but his second answer was an instruction to the prophet to wait. And in the meantime, live your faith. Maybe that's where you are. You're living in the meantime between the time when you asked, but God has not yet answered. Hear the instructions of God to the prophet. Keep doing what God told you to do. Be clear on God's word. Live your faith. That's the answer to life's questions. It's the antidote to life's confusion. It's the prescription for every believer. The just will live by faith. We've entitled this program After God's Heart. The name of the program comes from the title of my newest book, After God's Heart. It's a story of the life of David, the challenges, the lessons that we learn from David, and how we can apply those to our lives. We'd love to send you a copy of my book when you support this ministry with your generous gift. Now here's Ed to give you more details on how you can get a copy of my book.
Thanks, Dr. Biles. You can get a copy of After God's Heart today by contacting Sunnyvale First Baptist Church at 972-226-7105 or sunnyvalefbc.com. You can also write us at 3018 North Beltline Road, Sunnyvale, Texas, 75182. Attention, After God's Heart. And here's a final word from Pastor Darren.
Thanks, Ed. If you live in the North Texas area, I want to extend my personal invitation to you to be our guest at Sunnyvale First Baptist Church. Sunday school starts at 9 o'clock. We have classes for all ages, and worship starts at 10:30. We hope to see you this Sunday at Sunnyvale First Baptist Church.
Once again, on behalf of Dr. Biles, we want to thank you for listening. I'm your host, Ed Petty, and we'll see you next time on After God's Heart.